Amen. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and God is love, amen? And I believe that the goodness, the kindness, the patience, the gentleness, all this stuff over here is just an expression of our love. And when we say that we love God and we love each other, then all this stuff is going to come out. You can't say you love, but you can't have self-control. You can't say that you can be good, but you can't be patient. Because if you've got one, if you've got the love of God, you've got it all. And you're capable of it all. It's just that the seed that's in us, we have to cause it to grow. Amen? We've got to allow that seed of love and the seed of goodness and kindness, patience, all that seed, we've got to allow that to grow into a mighty tree. And Shirley and Enrique did a great job of building that tree this week, didn't they? Hallelujah. Fantastic. You know, you get the idea that when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore you're capable of being loving, amen? And today, as we concentrate on the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to do it out of the book of James chapter 1, and it's called Loving God Under Trials. How many of you have been through some trials? See, but what we want to do is we want to love God even going through the trials, amen? So if you have your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 1, verse 12. And we're going to read through verse 18 this morning. It says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Yes. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Dear Heavenly Father, as we examine our hearts today, Lord, as how we've gone through trials and tribulations, and temptations, Lord, we open our hearts up to you for transformation, that we'd be changed. Lord, that by your Spirit you would speak to each one of us today. And Father, if there's anything that we need to deal with, that, Lord, we would leave it here at the altar today and allow you to just fill us, Lord, with your strength, with your love, Lord, that we can continue to overcome everything that the enemy throws at us. We thank you for this wonderful time to be in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God is great, and there's just some incredible things about him. And one of the things is that his promises to us are incredible. Remember in James chapter 1, in the first three or four verses there, he says that if we go through trials with joy, that he is going to make us perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. So God has got a great promises for us, and he tells us here, he says, blessed. And I think about, you know, blessing. You know, some people get blessed by when they get a puppy. I seen somebody on Facebook this week was so happy because they got a new kitty cat. If that was you that's here today, congratulations on your new kitty cat. You know, but we look at blessings in different ways. You know, Delon and I, we're going to be blessed with our fifth grandson on December 8th. Amen. And that's exciting, you know, to have another grandson. I saw a lady here at the tea yesterday. She goes, I always see how people fuss and stuff over their grandchildren, but goes, now that I have one, it's like, oh my gosh, it's incredible. And it is to have grandchildren. So, you know, but you think of blessing, but James takes this word so much further than just a monetary blessing. He takes it to an extent that is just incredible. This is what it means. It means large or a long duration. It's not talking about a blessing for the moment. It's talking about being blessed for a long time. And then the word is the adjective suggesting happy, supremely blessed, a condition of which congratulations are in order. Congratulations are in order. Come on. Somebody hit a high five somewhere, huh? Do something. Congratulations are in order. When you come into the kingdom, amen, you are blessed. Congratulations, John.
Thank you, sir.
See, that's what it means. It's more than just a, oh, I got a kitty cat. It's, you are blessed, Candace. You're blessed. And there's something to get excited about, that you, the blessing of God has come upon you. And it's for a long duration. It's not a monetary, momentary thing. It's a long-term blessing. It's accounted to you are blessed because God has given you salvation, which is long-term. It's eternal. It's forever. It's not just for a moment. It's not just a pinch of time. It's long lasting. That's the blessing that James is saying. He said, you are blessed. But it comes with a hitch. You are blessed. If, everybody say, if you endure. See, we all talk about trials and tribulations and temptations and stuff. The blessing comes is when we can endure the temptation that comes at us. How many of you ever get tempted? If you're not getting tempted, then you need to meet God. I think was it Pastor Jesse that was talking about that? You know, that thought went right out of my head. So we'll just keep going. Endurance. To endure. It's on the board up there. Endure means to hold one's ground in conflict, to bear up against stress, to stand firm, persevere under pressure, to wait calmly and courageously. You know, I was talking in the first service about, you know, what some of the Christians around the world are going through today. And you know, the Syrian Christians, what they've experienced, you know, the tribulation and that they've come under, but they're not willing to give up Christ. They're standing firm. That's why they're being murdered, because they're standing firm. They're not going to let go of Jesus. And that's, you know, that's what I'm talking about, to hold one's ground in conflict, to stand firm, to persevere under pressure, to wait calmly and courageously. It's not a passive resignation of fate in mere patience, but the active, energetic. Everybody say energetic.
Energetic.
Come on, look at somebody and say it. Energetic. Come on. This excites me. Hallelujah. But resistance to defeat that allows a calm and brave endurance. That's the idea, calm and brave endurance. That because we're blessed because we endure. We're blessed because we know who Christ is in us. We're blessed because we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. So if I have love, I can definitely have patience. If I have patience, I can definitely have self-control. If I've got self-control, I can have a lot of joy, amen? I'm enduring, and so as I'm enduring, these things are growing. I'm going to show you a tape in a few minutes. A gentleman's going to talk about this. It's just when we endure, what happens inside of us, that strength and that boldness and that compassion for Jesus just grows. But enduring builds you. Enduring strengthens you. Enduring, holding the course, staying the course, is what gets you to where God wants you to be. There was that movie with Mel Gibson about the American, you know, Patriot, yeah. The movie The Patriot, Mel Gibson. And, you know, and the end of it, after he'd lost so much, you know, the general said to him, just stay the course. Just stay the course. Let's finish this thing. Let's finish. Let's endure to the end. And that's the thing. When we endure to the end, we're going to win a great we are going to be blessed beyond blessed, what we could ever imagine. You know, but there's a few issues along the way. Number one, the devil hates us. He does not like you, okay? When you believe on Jesus Christ, you just created an enemy. The devil, the enemy of our soul, is out there. That's number one. Number two, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Okay, so what he does is he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he comes as an accuser to accuse us to God. So what he does is he goes around and he looks for holes in our armor. You know, put on the armor of God. So he looks for a hole in Priscilla's armor. So he's looking around Priscilla and he says, "Oh my gosh, Lord, did you see that spot right there?" Sorry, Priscilla. I know you can take it. But he's pointing out the negatives because he's accusing us to God. And so what he's trying to do is to get God to say, "Oh, Priscilla." But God looks down and he says, "All I see is the blood of Jesus. I don't see any spots." See, but what he tries to do when he's accusing us is he tries to get us to focus on the spot and not the blood. He accuses us to try to get us to give in to what he's talking about. And when we give in to what he's talking about, then that seed that's sown in us from the enemy begins to grow. Because our focus goes on that one thing. You know, I tried to, last year, when my grandsons were around, I planted three pots with seeds. But you know what? We neglected them. And nothing came forth. Nothing. It's when we neglect the seed that the devil plants in us that it doesn't grow. But when we water that seed that the enemy puts in us, when the enemy starts putting a lie into you, he starts throwing a temptation at you, and we water that seed, we talk about that seed, we let that seed irritate us and stuff, then that seed begins to grow in us, and it works its way up into a pile of sin in our lives because we start giving into that seed. But if the Lord plants a seed inside of you, he says, "Here, Delonda, here's this seed of love," and she allows it to grow, then the goodness, the kindness, the patience, the joy, the faithless peace, self, it just blasts out of you. But whatever you're watering is what's going to grow. Whatever seed that's in you, if you neglect it, it will not grow. If you dig it up, I was listening to one guy saying, you know, he says, "When I was a kid," he says, "I planted some seeds in a pot," and he goes, "but I dug them up every day to look at them." His mom finally told him, "You keep digging them things up, they're not going to grow." Well, that's what we need to do, amen? We need to dig up those seeds that don't belong so they do not grow. And you know what? You know who knows who those seeds are? The devil and you and the Lord. Because the devil will plant seeds of temptation in you. And it's up to us whether we give into it or and water it or we pull it out and root it out and pull it down and cast it down. And then number three, the devil will do what he can to reveal our shortcomings to the Lord. Like I said, as an accuser, he wants to point out our faults so that we can stumble away. You know, the devil's an accuser of the brethren. He looks for the chinks in our armor so that he can expose us to God, because here's the issue. God does not tempt us. It's not God's fault when we stumble. Because God has nothing to do with evil. The devil does the seed planting of the evil. God says, "I can't have anything to do with evil." Okay, so God does not tempt us. We're tempted by our own desires. We're tempted by what's in us. And so what the devil does is he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And what he does is he looks for chinks in your armor. You have the armor of God. And he's looking for areas of your life that you really like. It's just like if you put a plate of cooked peas in front of me, you're not going to tempt me. Because I hate cooked peas. It just does not appealing to me. It's squishy. Sorry for those of you that like peas. I'm happy for you. I don't like them. Now you give me some snap peas and, you know, that are cold with some ranch dressing, I'll munch them on down. You know, but the cooked peas, I just can't handle it. You know, there's no way to be tempted with something that you hate, right? So you got, you know, if it says you're tempted by what's inside of you, you got to figure out what inside of me do I really need to start developing a hatred for? Delonda told me one day, she asked me this question, Juwan. She said, there's so many men of God that have fallen into adultery. She said, what plans are you making so that doesn't happen to you? Well, I got this, and I got this, and then this. And then she looked at me and she said, that's not good enough. I'm like, what in the world do you want? She says, I want you to hate it. I want you to hate it so much that you'll never do it. And that's the idea, is that we hate those things that are not of God. That we just despise them. That it's like a can of cooked peas. I can't eat them. I can't partake of them. I remember, you know, Joseph in the book of Genesis, Potiphar's wife is enticing him and trying to get him to get in bed with her and stuff. You know, her husband's out of town. The door's open wide. You know, hasn't Potiphar said, hey, everything in your house is his? And he goes, yeah, but not you. And instead of standing around trying to talk his way out of it, he ran. He ran. And his whole thing was, I don't want to sin against God. And he just took off out of it. He said, I'm not doing this. And he bolted from that place. And we have to get that into our spirit, that I'm going to bolt from those things that are evil. I'm going to root them out. I'm going to pull them down. I'm going to squash that seed so that it doesn't have any room to grow in me. I'm going to destroy it. It's going to get lasered. Come on, you guys. Wake up a little. Don't make me get crazy. It's easy to hate what you don't like, but it's a little bit more difficult to hate what you do like or what you're enticed by. But it's up to us to destroy those seeds. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is always looking for ways to tempt you. If he knows you dislike it, he'll leave you alone on it. But if he knows that there's a track record there, he'll pick on you with it until you absolutely despise it and to stop giving into it. I want to show you a clip right now from a man, Jesse Duplantis.
Time without sinning. Why? Because I hate it. I have sinned, but I do not sin every day. And as a minister of the gospel, there are sins that no minister should ever commit. Amen. Now, write this down in your, just put a little note on the side. It's not a temptation, it's not a sin to be tempted. But it is a sin to yield. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield. Because you see, God, in his infinite mercy and grace, gave you the power and authority to stop it. And everybody's waiting for God to pull you out of it when you have that authority in your own self to do it. Now notice what it says here again in verse 12. Blessed or empowered to prosper is the man that endureth, not enjoyeth, but endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. Now notice God's not doing that. The devil's doing that. Which the Lord has received the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Write this down. The more perfect the Christian, the greater the number of risks he has passed through. You know why I don't sin much? Because of who I am, because of my faith? No, because I've been through some things, though I walk through. It didn't say though I stop and look around. The more perfect or the more mature the Christian, the greater the number of risks he has passed through. See, when the devil brought the temptation to me, I didn't forget it. I learned from it. I learned that, oh, wait a minute, son. All that is a devilish or a wicked tool, and I don't use those tools. See, so I learned from it so that I wouldn't be caught in a snare. So the more perfect the Christian, the better or the greater the number of risks he has passed through. Now, if the devil had any sense, which he doesn't, he actually pushes people to God with sin. If the devil would leave people alone, most people go to hell by themselves. It's called complacency. But he aggravates them so bad that they say, forget it. So what do you think of when you think of a temptation? Write this down. Temptations exercise our moral muscles. You don't know how strong your morality is until the devil tries to make you commit immorality. Now, I'm not looking for that temptation, but if it comes, I realize that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. If you're sinning every day, then you...
Amen. The devil can only tempt you with what's on inside of you. And temptation, as he said, is not a sin. It's when it's conceived that it gives birth to sin. And as I said, it's like when you plant a plant, whatever good seed, bad seed, whatever you're watering is what's going to grow. But whatever you're rooting out and pulling down is what will die, amen? And so when you're being tempted of the devil, we have to capture that thought. And we've got to cast it down. We've got to get it under the blood. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do this. Get away from me, devil. You see, because what happens is that once it gives birth and it's fully grown and you start doing it, it brings forth death. You see, Adam and Eve didn't understand this, what death was. And I really think, you know, when you look around, I was looking for that plate of fruit. There was a lot of fruit here yesterday. Oh, here's fruit. You know, Adam and Eve... Come here, Delonda. I know you. You're Eve, okay? I'm Adam. The tempter's in the tree. Why don't you go on? So Adam kind of stood back while his wife Eve went to the tree and she picked a piece of fruit. And as she picked a piece of fruit, Adam knew that if she ate it, she would die, because that's what God said. So Adam stood back and he watched. And she ate it. And when she ate it, she didn't fall over dead. Adam said, she's not dead. He said, you naked woman. Get some clothes on. And they went and they got some leaves and they made some coverings. Thank you, honey. Thank you. See, but they didn't realize that it meant separation from God is what the death was. They're looking in the physical. And a lot of times we look at the physical. Well, this isn't going to affect anybody. This isn't going to hurt anybody when it's actually going to bring forth death. And it's just an apple.
Good cat.
It's just an apple. And a lot of times we get tempted by things that we think it's just an apple. It's just one time. But once it starts, it brings about a fall in us. And it brings about that separation. And the great thing about it is, though, that we can learn from our mistakes, as Jesse said, and get it right. Amen? 1 Corinthians, and we'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it like this. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, you also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is no one in the room that is so special that gets tempted more than anybody else. We get tempted according to what we can handle from God. I love it when people say, God will not give me more than I can handle. Where does it say that? It just says God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can handle. So every temptation that comes your way that you give into, God says, I will give you a way out. Amen? God will always provide a way out of the temptation that you're in. Whether it's drugs or it's adultery or it's, you know, just whatever, God will provide a way out if we're listening. Between the seed of temptation being planted and it coming to life, God will give you a way out. Sometimes things are happening so fast that we just don't pay attention to it, and we end up doing it, and then we fall. Then we need to start repenting and going around that way again. But it's never. Everybody say never. God's desire for us to fail. It's never God's desire for us to fail. We fail on our own because of what's in us. God will make a way if we can just listen to him. That's number four. God will make a way if we can just listen. Sometimes life is going by so fast that we don't take time to listen. But if we could just slow down for a moment and listen, God will make a way. He'll tell you what to do, and it'll become so clear to you. Shirley making this tree. She's like, I don't know how to do this, God. And then God just spoke to her real quick. He said, do it like this. And she's like, oh my gosh. And look at the tree of life. Hallelujah, Shirley. You listened and you learned and you did it. And it, look it. Wow, and it ministered greatly to us today. Thank you, Shirley. And Enrique, wherever Enrique is. But what a wonderful job. Verse 16, though, it tells us in James 1, it goes into talking about being deceived. The enemy tries to deceive us. He'll try to deceive you and tell you, oh, it's okay. If you just do it once, it's all right. You know, the deception comes. But just know this. It says that everything that is good comes from God. Everything that is good, it comes from God. James is stressing that God is good. And everything good that happens to us is because of God. And when we start looking at the goodness, as we're talking about right there on the end, goodness of God and allowing it to grow in us. It's amazing as you start filling up on God how the temptations just start going away. The enemy is a thief and a robber, and he also remember that our enemy of our soul knows us and he looks for opportunity to get us. And so what he does is, you know, you get saved, you get redeemed, you get delivered, and you stop doing those things that you know God doesn't want you to do. And trust me, I know it's not about do's and don'ts, but I know there was things in my life that were ugly, and God said, don't do those ugly things anymore. I said, oh, hallelujah. And I stopped doing them. But you know what happens? It's just one day, out of the blue, the enemy says, hey, why don't you do that again? And you're like, what? Yeah, go ahead, it's okay. You're a Christian, you're under grace. It's okay, you're under grace. Go ahead, man. Grace means you can do whatever you want and you're covered. That ain't what grace means, but that's what the enemy wants you to think. Grace means that God covers you so they don't ever have to do it again. That's what grace is. Grace is everything you need to not fall into sin. But the enemy kind of twists grace and tries to convince you. Grace is that you can do whatever you want and God will cover you. No. Grace is God will cover you so that you don't do everything you want. But the enemy of our soul, he tries to trick us into that. And the way out is to recognize where our weak spots are and ask for help in them. We sang a song today. When we were singing it, one of the lines, I had to stop and write it down. It said, it's asking God to awake the seed in us. That's the God seed in us. That's the fruit seed in us that we're asking God to awaken us. We want him to root out and pull down those things that aren't of him. And we know the enemy of our soul comes to devour us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says in James chapter 10, verse 10. But Lord, we ask today that you awake that righteous seed inside of us. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today. Lord, we admit to you today that, Lord, our spirit is willing and our flesh is weak. And Father, we ask that today, that Lord, that you'd give us the revelation of any holes that we have in our armor. Lord, that we need to patch up, we need to get healed up, we need to be made free from. We don't want to give the enemy any ground in our lives. We don't want to give in to any temptations, Father. We don't want to allow the seed of temptation to grow inside of us to bring forth death in us. But Lord, we want the seeds of life inside of us. And I pray for every one of us today for that seed of life to come alive. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, there's some holes I need filled today. I realize where the enemy's been throwing temptations at me, and it's been a difficult time. And today I want to just have a breakthrough of overcoming in that. If that's you today, just raise your hand so I can come in agreement with you. You know you got some stuff you need to work on so that you can just, amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Why don't we stand to our feet and just allow us to come into agreement. And then we're going to sing a song before we go. Almost just join hands with the people at your table today. And let's just come into agreement. Come here, Jesse. Come hold my hand, man. You're all alone over there now. They're all... Praise you, Father. Lord, we give you praise today. We thank you for the love of God, Lord, that we even feel right now. Father, I pray that your love, Father God, that seed of love that you put in us, would just grow into an overflowing tree of joy and peace and kindness and goodness. Lord, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Father. That, Lord, it would just grow in our hearts and our minds, Father God, in the seeds that the enemy has been throwing at us, Lord, the seeds he's been trying to sow. Lord, I pray that today those things inside of us, Lord, we dig them up, we throw them down today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we cast them away from us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the seed of revival to come inside of us today. That, Lord, that we'd begin to grow and abound in you like never before. That the love for our Heavenly Father would just expand and grow. And, Lord, that we wouldn't be able to contain it, but it would flow out of us like a river of living water. Father, I pray that your joy would be full in us today. And Father God, that your strength from that joy would cause us, Father, to walk in victory all the time. And even as we heard Pastor Jesse Duplantis say, I don't sin that often, Lord, because we're destroying those seeds inside of us that are not of you. Lord, and we're planting seeds of righteousness, seeds of fruit of the Spirit inside. And we're allowing them to come to life inside of us. So, Lord, as we come into agreement today, you said if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. Let it flow today, Father God. As we even hold hands in agreement for it, Father, let it flow. Let a renewing of our strength come, Father. Hallelujah. Let your joy just fill us overflowing, Lord. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap today. Before we sing, just remember to stack the chairs at your table before you go. Juwan.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way.